All right, if you have a copy of God's Word, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I'd like to speak to you this morning with the Lord's help from this. We find our theme from verse 22. And our theme today is at the end of verse 22. And I want you to underline this, please, if you don't mind. The Apostle Paul says that I might by all means save some. I'd like to speak to you on this theme, by all means save some. All means all, and that's all means. I believe that's a challenge for us in 2021. By all means save some. The whole theme of this text is the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, we know it's three parts. It's death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel, though, is the power of God unto salvation. Thankfully, it's to the Jew and the Greek. Hallelujah for the Greeks. Amen? And the Jews, okay? Sorry, if you're a Jew, I may have offended you there. Paul says, by all means, save some. I want to challenge Anchor Baptist Church this morning to examine our life. You examine your life, and I'll examine mine with the Word of God. By all means, save some. By all means, save some in your home. Some of you might have a child who's still not saved. Maybe they're so young that they don't really understand yet. Okay, let's keep praying for them. By all means, save some. Maybe you have a teenager in your home that's still not saved and they know they're not saved. Keep praying for them. By all means, save some. By all means, whatever it takes, save some. Heavenly Father, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would ignite our hearts today in this theme of by all means, save some. I thank you for igniting me and maybe in chastening me and pushing me forward. Time and time again, you do that. Thank you for doing that. Please do it again. Help us to have the boldness that we need to, by all means, save some. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not much into politics, whether it be Canadian politics or politics in the United States. I know a little bit. That's about all I care to know, quite frankly. But I do know that we pray regularly for our Prime Minister. And I hope you're praying for Prime Minister Trudeau and his family. I hope you're praying for them to, if they are not born-again believers, I don't want to just assume they're not, but quite confident they're not, but if they're not, I pray that they would be saved. I pray that someone around them would be a Christian with a strong testimony. I hope you're praying for them. I believe it's a Bible command that we pray for those in authority over us and rulers over us. And in our province here, we have Premier John Horgan, and I hope you're praying for Premier John Horgan and his family in the exact same way. And we have someone who's been under, I don't know, the pressure that this lady is under and criticized by the left and the right. That's Bonnie Henry. I know she's not a politician, but I hope you're praying for her. I hope you're praying for her family. I have her written down on my notepad in my office to pray for her. And I need to pray more for her. as well as these other people I've mentioned. And yesterday there was an event in downtown Vancouver. And Pastor Nathan and I attended the event. And it was put on by a local pastor. It was not a church event. It was not sponsored by a church. It wasn't a religious event. It was an event that was, I believe it was very important, or else I wouldn't have gone. But it was an event that was protesting this gender transitioning that is being allowed to affect children. And it is taking rights away from the ones who brought those children into the world, the parents. There is today a man in jail over protecting the birth gender of his child. He's in jail. Can you believe that? In Canada, a parent is in jail, and it's labeled, if you will, probably labeled child abuse. Unbelievable, quite frankly. And so this rally was to stand up for and against this wicked practice, because that's what it is. It's wicked, absolutely, with a capital W, capital I, capital C, capital K, capital E, capital D, with a bunch of exclamation points beside it. Let me just say something, and I don't know how much I'm going to go into this. I'm going somewhere. We're going to the Word of God, but just give me this moment. It is applicable to this. It's in the public schools. Yesterday we were told, and I think I knew this already, but we were told as early as 5 years of age, kids are being conditioned to question their birth gender. The schools that our taxes are paying for. I'm saying this lovingly, the schools that some of your kids are attending. So anyway, that was that side of the event. But when you have an event like that, there are typically more than people that are there supporting the event that show up. And that's what happened yesterday. And it literally, when I walked away, I couldn't help but cry. Because to my right, literally 15 feet away from me, that's from where I was standing, was a big group of these. They're kids. To me, they're kids. They're the age of my oldest son. They're the age of my oldest daughter. They're the age of some of your sons and your daughters. And they're there and they're hurting and they're broken. They have no idea what they're talking about. Hurling obscenity after obscenity after obscenity. I watched two of these young ladies, and I say that with all due respect to call them a lady, but I watched two of these young ladies literally in the face of a grandmother who was just holding a sign. Saying nothing, and they were just, I mean, it took everything in my body not to walk over there and help it out a little bit. But that wouldn't have helped anything. But what broke my heart was the answer for all of this isn't a protest. You say, then why did you go? Because we've got to stand up and we've got to give our voice for the kids, or else there is going to be no hope. That's not the answer. That's a thing you can do. That's something that's good to do. But the real answer lies in the homes, in your home and in my home. And the real answer lies in the Word of God that we have before us today, that by all means, the excuses that you have made and the excuses that I have made to be getting the gospel out must stop. Because that's what it is. It is the church that is responsible. It is the believers, it is the pastors like this one that are responsible that we haven't done all that we could do and we haven't by all means saved some. That's not to say we've done nothing. Praise God for what God has allowed us to do. And it's all because of God. But you and I, we all know this. We all know that there is something more that we can do. And there's more means that we can do to reach people with the gospel. Vancouver is full of hurting people. Vancouver is full of people that are shaking their fist at Almighty God, that are under the wrath of God, that one day the wrath of God, should they not repent, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on them. And that should not be said gleefully, and it's not. I looked over there repeatedly yesterday as people were speaking and giving testimonies. But my eyes kept going over here and just, I kept thinking, I wonder where their dad is. Possibly he's at home brokenhearted. I wonder where their mom is. I wonder if they ever sat in Sunday school. I wonder if they've ever heard that God loves them. I wonder if they know that the Creator God made them a woman, because obviously we know that we're born male and female. Hello. I wonder if they know that God made them to be a male for a purpose and for His glory, and He loves them, or made them to be a female for a purpose and for His glory. Next month on two Thursday nights, we're going to have a very important Zoom class. If you're from Anchor Baptist Church and you haven't signed up for it, you need to be there. I've watched the teaching already. It's a must. About protecting the innocence of our children. And I'm getting way too far ahead of myself. That needed to be said. Pray about that. Two Thursday nights in May. You need to be there. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just zoom right in. We'll have it ready. Very important. I think we'll open it up to others that don't even maybe have kids that want to be informed and know how to pray better. We'll talk more about that later. By all means, save some. By all means, save some. Number one, it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. Look at verse 14, please. Paul said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity." Let's circle that word, necessity. It is a necessity in 2021 that you and I live and preach the gospel. It is a necessity that we pray for the lost in our homes and the lost in our neighborhood and the lost in our community and the lost in our city and the lost in our country and the lost around the world. It is a necessity. And by all means, we need to do that. What does it mean there? Notice what it says there. "For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Go back up to verse 14, though. It says that they should live of the gospel. You know what I wrote down? I wrote down this. Living of the gospel means this, that it's part of my daily life. It's not a relegated time in the week. I'm preaching to me, okay? I want you to know this. This week we found out, as Pastor Nathan mentioned, that a gentleman who worked underneath us for several years, we just found out in the last week, and that maybe you weren't online when this was mentioned, so I'm going to re-mention it, that he committed suicide. We have no idea if he knew the Lord. He was someone that we saw probably weekly, without exaggeration, that we would at least say hello to. Once a week, maybe not quite every week, but most every week. Some conversations have been had with him. But I should have done more. It's too late now for him. We also found out this week, someone who has been on our prayer list, my prayer list, I don't know if he's on our church prayer list still or not, but on my personal prayer list, and many of you have prayed for him. We just found out this week, though, that Jazz passed away. Some of you that were attending back at the hotel will remember Jazz coming in, a friend of Yvonne's, Brother Yvonne. I had the privilege of sitting in the lobby one of those Sundays that he came to the hotel, and we sat there in the lobby of the hotel right outside the room, right outside the meeting room for a good amount of time, and I took the Bible and showed him how to be saved. He wasn't ready to be saved. By the way, he passed away on March 21st. Just found out. Sometime after that meeting, we had a meeting here with Brother Yvonne and Jazz and Jazz's son. Once again, the gospel was presented. Jazz's son got saved. Praise the Lord. I don't know if Jazz ever got saved. I'm thankful that we were able to give him the gospel, and I'm not saying that about me at all. It's not about me. I'm praying for his wife. I just wrote it down during our prayer meeting this morning. I want to get her name. Brother Tejada, you need to help me get her name, his wife's name. We need to pray for Jazz's wife, and we need to try to reach out to her. By all means, it is our responsibility. Turn to Romans chapter 1, please. Aren't you glad that we have an answer? Aren't you glad we have an answer to give people? We aren't just going through life not knowing what to tell people. We have an answer. We have the reason of the hope to give people. It's in the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am a debtor. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, that's what we need. We need a renewal of not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, as we said earlier, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is our responsibility. Turn over, if you would, quickly to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. The Bible, God's Word says, according to the glorious gospel. How about that? What a descriptive word. Amen? The glorious gospel, or the gospel of glory, we could say. The glorious gospel of the blessed God. Notice, which was committed to my trust. Committed to my trust. Apostle Paul, again, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, the gospel has been committed to my trust. It is my responsibility. It is my personal, it's not a duty, but we could look at it that way, but it should be a delight. It is my personal delight to influence you and to influence you in such a way that I am allowed at some point to bring you the gospel. It is our responsibility. By all means, save some. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians number 9. Number 2, it is for God's glory. It is for God's glory. Look at verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Oh, Pastor, you just want us to go out and bring everybody saved so we can have a big church. That's never been the case. It's not for Anchor Baptist Church glory. It's not for the pastor's glory. It's not for the people's glory. It's not for anything on this earth. It's for the glory of God. Paul said, I have nothing to glory of. I'm just one sinner saved by grace, giving the gospel to another sinner who needs to be saved by grace. It's for God's glory. I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. I have nothing to glory of. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, I hope God is maybe warming your heart and impressing upon your heart that by all means this week, let's be men and women of the gospel. By all means this week, let's pray for that, continue to pray for that son or that daughter, that mom or that dad, that husband, that wife, that grandma, that grandpa, family in the Philippines, family in Asia, other Asian countries, family in Europe, family in Central and South America, family that are lost, family all around the globe, family next door. It's my responsibility, but it's for God's glory. Look at, please, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God, isn't that great? We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You know, I think about my life, my journey, and I have been allowed of God over and over again. People have given me so much not to put in my pocket and hold on to it. People have given me so much in my 47 years of life, soon to be 48. They've been putting it. And I'm not worth anything without Christ. But as Paul said here, we were allowed of God. And God saw fit to bring people into your life and my life. And we heard the truth and we heard the way. And we know that He's the life. And we know that He is the King of Kings. And we've been put in trust with the gospel. And we've been allowed to. And so that not only could we have it and we could be peaceful and know that heaven is our eternal home. And we're one breath away from heaven and all of that. And it's wonderful. But notice what it says. Even so we what? Speak. Circle that word. We've been entrusted with the gospel. Now what are we supposed to do? Speak. Right? Tell somebody what Christ has done for you. Tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. Tell somebody how it's been entrusted and given to you and the difference that God has made in your life. We've got to speak. To me, when I see the word speak, it means action. Right? You can't speak with your mouth closed. Now you can say things with your face. That's marriage taught. Anyway, I think we're supposed to talk about that in the marriage session, all right? You can say things with your face. That's also parenting class. Wipe that look off of your face. I didn't say anything. Yeah, but. No, in this case, we've got to speak. But notice what he says. Not as pleasing men. We're still in 1 Thessalonians. Not as pleasing men. I'm not supposed to tell anybody the gospel to please them, to please me, to please you, to please the pastor. No, we're speaking to please God because He gets the glory. We're sharing the gospel with people. We're trying to make a difference in our society. We're trying to turn the tide, not us, but God turning the tide in Burnaby and all around the lower mainland. What's going to do it? By all means, save some. How can you be involved in the gospel preaching ministry? You don't need to be a pastor to preach the gospel. You don't need to be a pastor to speak the truth in love. It's our responsibility. It's for God's glory. But let's go back to our text. And really, when it all boils down, this isn't why, but this is a byproduct of it. Number three, it's for man's eternity. It's for man's eternity. Look at verse 22. We're trying to bring it to a close here, but don't leave me yet. Don't close any Bible yet. Don't log off. The clock is kind of, you know, it's kind of shaded here. So I think it says like 10:30. No, just kidding. Kidding. Remember, it's getting out of me. Quarantine's getting out of me. Okay, I know what time it is, barely, but I can see it. 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. The weak, the strong, the wealthy, the poor, the sick, the healthy. It is for man's eternity. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Go to Romans 16, please. Romans 16. It is for man's eternity. By all means, save some. Oh, the Bible makes it very clear that man has a living soul. A living soul. We're going to see a verse here in just a minute that really challenged me, and I've read it, but I don't think I really read it until recently. You know what I mean by that. Romans 16, 25. Not this one, but it's coming. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, I like this, which was kept secret since the world began, but, something's going to change in verse 26. Now is made manifest. What does that mean? It made known. A mystery, but it's not a mystery anymore. It was made manifest, how? By the scriptures of the prophets. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It's for man's eternity that we preach the gospel. Jude 3, I'm just going to read it quickly because it is... My time is just about done. Jude 3, I'm going to read it. You can turn there, though, but I'll read it now. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. By all means, must contend for the faith that's been delivered time and time again. It's for man's eternity. Now, earlier, we just read a moment ago about the prophets. Let's go back and read one quickly, all right? Daniel chapter 12. Daniel. Now, you know, some people, you know, the New Testament, not Christians, of course, but, you know, sometimes... there are people that we meet, and we need to love them in the Lord. But, you know, that New Testament, nah, stick with the old. You know, stick with the law. Right? Well, the law doesn't save us, though. That's the problem. The law tells us that we're lost, but the law doesn't save us. But I came across this in reading, and it really challenged me. Look at Daniel 12. It's a prophetical part of Daniel. Look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. When death happens, it's over. Wrong. Here's an Old Testament verse. Some to everlasting life. New Testament says the dead in Christ shall be raised first. That's what that's talking about. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Again, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You either have everlasting life or everlasting shame. There is something after life. There is something, after death. Death is not final. And so we must continue by all means, we must continue to preach and teach the gospel in love. Why? It is our responsibility. It's for God's glory. It's for man's eternity. You think about how quickly life is over. We celebrated this week, one of our senior saints celebrated a birthday last week. 90 years of age. Wow, 90 years of age. Miss Carmen told me, she said, you know, the Bible says that you get to be 70 years of age. I'm giving you the translation from her Spanglish into my English, okay? If you ever do see this, Miss Carmen, I love you, okay? She said, you know, the Bible says 70, but then, you know, maybe you get 80. She said, I got 90. 20 more than the beginning. And she's right. Praise the Lord for 90 years. Amen. Praise the Lord for her love for people. Her love for the Lord. And I'll tell you this, Anchor Baptist Church, you may not have seen her for a long time, but I'll tell you what, she's been praying for you. God's glory. He's been praying for our missionary and others too, others of our seniors. Okay. But not everyone gets 90 years. Not everyone gets 100, almost 101 now for Mrs. Hilton. Coming up in August, if she's still with us, 101. Not everyone gets 98 like Brother Gord. By all means, what does all means? I don't know what it means to you. But it means we must do anything and everything, God enabling us to give the gospel. I hope today that you will just, as we come to the end of this meeting, I hope that you will reread and rethink and reconsider. Why do we preach the gospel? What's so important about it? Try to lay it out simply today from the Word of God. Necessity. Necessity has been laid upon us. It's our responsibility. That we get no glory, though. It's for God's glory. Because some are going to go to everlasting life, and some are going to go to everlasting shame. It's for man's eternity. Aren't you glad today, if you know Christ as Savior, aren't you glad somebody, by all means, got you the gospel? Now it's our turn. What does the lost need the most? The gospel. They need to know the love of God and hearing it from loving children of God. Unworthy, the loving children.